The fight for airline passengers' rights has led to a class action lawsuit. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Kate Hanai, frequent guest, founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights, and Human Vortex. Kate, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for that introduction, Paul.
Well, listen, loving it. You know, Kate, I'm amazed at your situation. We could probably have you on twice a week and there'd be 15 minutes of new material, so this is very tough to do. But we're going to talk over a two-day period here for our listeners on what's going on with the Airline Passengers Bill of Rights, but also a lot of other things that you found yourself immersed in as being a part of the coalition. Let me start by having you tell our listeners a story that I think many of them may not be familiar with. I was not until recently. It's been written about elsewhere. You had an experience which sensitized you to what happened back in December of 2006 when you were stranded by American Airlines on the tarmac in Austin. Tell us what set your life up to make this event a trigger for what has happened for the last year in your life.
Okay, well, you know, actually, the whole vacation itself that my husband set up for us that started this debacle on Flight 1348, where we were stuck on the tarmac, was meant to be a restorative vacation for myself and my family that my husband had negotiated with a hotel in Mobile, Alabama. He was going to do wine programs there in exchange for a free spa vacation for us for 5 days, mm-hmm. where we could all be together. And the reason for this was that 6 months earlier, I have been a real estate broker for almost 18 years, and 6 months prior to our flight, I had gone to a home to show it, and the person who had set up the appointment was not who he said he was. He had said he was an 80-year-old man with a wife from Seattle, Washington, and he wasn't. He was a young man with a ski mask on and gloves who came into the house after I entered the house, and his intention was to rape and kill me. And he almost did. And so I went through a struggle, the struggle of my life, and it was, you know, according to the police and the way that they label it, and it really is true, I was entrapped. They called it kidnapping and attempted murder and attempted rape. And that's exactly what happened. And luckily, I was not raped and I was not murdered. Very, very much, I'd say, by the grace of God, I probably also because I'm a talker, I kept talking throughout mm-hmm. this event and said some things that had him not be able to go through with it. But I was dealing with a pretty severe case of post-traumatic stress disorder that had to be treated. Mm-hmm. And I had never in my life ever been anyone but very strong. And so I was doing very, very well at the point that we took this flight. And the intention was, as soon as we got home from this luxurious spa vacation where we were all going to be together for the first time, because my older son goes to college, I was going to go back to work and start selling real estate again.
Right.
And was scared to do it, but I was ready and ready to face the fears. And so anyway, when I was inside the aircraft, as the hours mounted on the tarmac, at about the seventh hour on the tarmac, which would have been 11 hours inside the MD-80,
right.
There was a switch that went off in my head. And I remember sitting there thinking, this is not right. I'm trapped again. I'm being held against my will. And a lot of those feelings of powerlessness and helplessness that I'd felt before, not the imminent death threat that I had during my assault, but just that, how am I going to get out of here? Mm-hmm. How are we going to get out of here? And since we couldn't get any information on getting out of the plane or when we were going to go to a gate, it seemed like it was going to be endless, and I was terrified. And that's part of, really, the fundamental part of the birth of the coalition happened right there in that moment. I didn't realize it until about 3 days later, because so much happened during those 3 days just trying to get to Mobile.
Right.
But yes, it definitely was a factor in my becoming the leader of this coalition.
Well, and it raises an interesting point because you had an experience in your life which sensitized you to this kind of situation. There are people born that way. I mean, the natural differences among personality types and emotional durability levels makes some people claustrophobic and some people not. It makes some people have a fear of elevators and some people not. A lot of people who had nothing like that happen to them in their lives would have a switch thrown when it got to be 11 hours inside an airplane.
Oh, yes. I mean, there was a group of there was a group of guys who happened to be on holiday on the plane next to us that had a few cocktails, and they wanted off the plane very badly, and they got in a fist fight on the plane. And so they ended up being arrested. There were people shutting themselves in bathrooms, locking themselves in bathrooms who were agoraphobic, who, you know, they planned on one event happening and something else entirely different showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't know how long it's going to last, all kinds of things happen, psychologically, physically. It just depends on your makeup. And although I handled it very well and there were no outward signs of anything going on, I did tell the flight attendant that I was starting to panic.
Mm-hmm.
I did go forward and tell the flight attendant that I'd been assaulted and I was starting to panic, and I did ask the pilot what would happen if I were to have a heart attack.
Right.
And he said, well, they'll just call an ambulance for you. And I said, you mean to tell me you can't take us to a gate? And he said, nope.
Wow.
And that made me even more scared. I thought, if I have a heart attack and they can't take this plane to a gate and I'm in my golden hour,
mm-hmm.
you know, that actually added to my anxiety. I thought, there really is no hope.
Well, I think we know what followed. You, after the stranding, you met up with a few people through blogs online, which led you to form the coalition. And in the 6 months that followed, it swelled to how many members? I mean, once the Flight Attendants Union came on board.
Well, in the 6 months that followed, gosh, you know, from December 29th to 6 months, we were probably about 17,000 people plus the 17,500 flight attendants, so 34,000. If you add all the United flight attendants, and then if you add all of the flight attendants in total, because they did do a press release, Pat Friend did, saying that they were joining us, that's 55,000 flight attendants.
Mm-hmm.
The United flight attendants have been more unequivocal about their support. They have said, we fully support the Bill of Rights. So that's why I always say the United flight attendants support us entirely. The other flight attendants, all the remainder, they do in theory support us, but they haven't been quite as vocal about their support. The United pilots do support us, and that's 7,500 mm-hmm. pilots. So you can add all that to our membership. We right now have almost 21,500 people that have signed up as members. We have an additional several hundred people that have not signed our petition, but who are members. So we're almost 22,000 total, plus the flight attendants, the consumer groups, which represent 52 million people who have endorsed us. You know, USPIRG,
right.
Consumer Union, Consumer Federation of America, Public Citizen. They've all said, you know, you go. Coalition, because they believe that something's got to shift.
All right. Well, listen, Kate, we're going to be talking about this again tomorrow, but when we come back from our break today, what I'd like to talk about is the lawsuit that you filed just before the new year, the reasons behind it and the timing behind it and where that's going.
Okay, great.
We're talking with Kate Hannai, who is the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Flagg, talking today with Kate Hanai, who is the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. We got a little insight in the first half of today's feature about the background in more detail than before on how the coalition got started and what prompted it. Kate, in addition to your work with the coalition, you have personally filed a lawsuit against American Airlines. And if I understand correctly, the timing of it was critical. Tell us about how that happened over the holidays.
Yes, we actually got our lawsuit filed in California one day before the statute of limitations expired. Mm-hmm. The reason for the late filing had to do with I had a retainer agreement with another law firm that I needed to be released from.
Right.
They had not been able to file the lawsuit. I needed out from under it legally so that I wasn't indebted to them. And I couldn't get that until the day before I left for Orlando to take care of my father-in-law. So I was actually in the air the day that we filed the lawsuit on okay. American Airlines, ironically, and with no potable water on board. Somebody had made a mistake. The pilot came on 10 minutes after we boarded and said, folks, there was a mistake made, and we have no potable water on board this aircraft. So, but, you know, we made it. So
did they at least give you free ginger ale?
Oh, yeah, we had ginger ale and club soda, and we were fine.
Okay.
We pack for strandings now, so we're ready. But it would be kind of foolish to be who I am and not pack for a stranding at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So basically what happened is that Kathy Ray, who was on the flight next to mine on the tarmac the night of December 29th, and I and Paul Hudson, who's our lead attorney, and David Ramos, who is an attorney here in Napa and a very dear friend of mine, all got together and strategized, and the Odom Law Firm in Arkansas, and we decided this is how we're going to handle it. They filed in Arkansas on the 27th. We filed on the 28th, and the statute would have expired on the 29th, but now we can preserve all the evidence and move forward with the class action lawsuit.
Well, now, you say it's a class action lawsuit. Is this something that you expect all the members of the coalition to automatically get on board with?
Well, not all the members of the coalition, because our coalition's made up of people that weren't on our flights also.
Right.
But everyone who was involved with our flights so far, everyone, we've had 100% of the people say, what can I do to help?
When we first covered this story on Aero News, American Airlines was using the "we haven't seen the lawsuit and we can't comment on pending litigation anyway" kind of response. Have you had any response from American Airlines so far?
None.
Okay.
None. And I don't believe they will. And I actually have to be careful what I say.
Right.
The awkward position I'm in is that I'm a consumer advocate and now I'm a plaintiff. So I'm being interviewed all the time. And I am going to talk as a consumer advocate with my experiences, but my experiences also did factor into why I would continue to pursue this lawsuit. American Airlines did some things last year when I was testifying and then had some stranding events later after our stranding event last year that were very, very egregious after they came out with their quote-unquote four-hour rule and denied that these things happened. Then they finally said, oh, yes, it happened. Then they finally said, well, we don't really have a four-hour rule. And that's when, you know, again, as we've gone through all of these experiences and I realized the manipulation of the English language that seems to go on with the PR of
well,
the airline.
And hey, Kate, you've hired a lawyer.
Absolutely. Yes, I have. And I'm sure we'll, you know, the funny thing that the lawyer said when he was interviewed by the Chronicle, and we joked about this, is that the airlines are saying that this was, that God is to blame, that this was an act of God.
Hmm.
And that, you know, they had no control over what happened at all 24 different airports where these flights were diverted to.
Right.
And so my lawyer said, Paul said, well, you know, I guess we should have named God in the lawsuit, but that would have led to some really interesting questioning in court.
Oh, boy. Well,
I know.
You know, where does it go from here? I want to ask you, obviously, about the outcome because nobody knows. But Northwest Airlines had a similar situation with a case in Detroit in which some passengers were stranded and they settled out of court for $7 million. I would expect that having that as a precedent, American Airlines will want to fight this vigorously. But do you have any kind of timetable on how it'll move forward?
You know, I really don't. And one of the issues for me right now is that the states have decided to become so involved regarding legislation individually that I've become a little bit sidetracked with the state legislation, which is very good for us, but it's just been a little overwhelming trying to keep up with all of it.
Yeah, multiplied your workload by 50, but other than that, it's great.
I know, other than that, it's all fine.
Yes.
And they'd all like me to be there to testify. So we'll see how far, how thin we can spread Kate over this year. But I believe that American Airlines is probably going to want to settle this at some point because they're going to be very surprised at some of the information that I have.
Mm-hmm.
That said, who knows what they'll do. They've, as far as I'm concerned, been extremely arrogant. And as a consumer advocate, I'm saying they've been arrogant throughout the year in saying they had the four-hour rule and then saying, no, it was an internal operational guideline. It really wasn't meant to protect people. Handing out propaganda material when I testified before the House, refuting my testimony. And the DOT has done a report saying that we were on the tarmac for 9 hours and 17 minutes, our flight was.
Right.
And many of the things that, not all of the things the DOT said did I agree with, but and some of that's going to come out in the wash when we get done with this lawsuit or as we're doing the lawsuit. But I believe that we're going to be successful with the lawsuit no matter how long it takes. And that given that Northwest did settle and that the settlement of the Northwest suit made a difference in their contract of carriage
mm-hmm.
and made a difference in how they treat people on the tarmac. We don't get a lot of complaints about Northwest stranding people.
Right.
As a coalition. We don't hear about that. And they have a three-hour rule in their contract of carriage.
Well, I know how highly you regard the enforceability of those contracts, though, Kate.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. But the truth of the matter is we don't hear about we do have a few, but just not the large numbers that we see from American or U.S. Airways or some of the other airlines that seem to have made almost a practice out of keeping people on the tarmac for a long time for a variety of different reasons.
Well, listen, tomorrow, I know you were keeping track via your toll-free hotline over the holidays on how airlines are treating people. I want to talk about that. And also I want to talk about the legislative side of this that you alluded to briefly a moment ago when we talk tomorrow. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow for more with Kate Hanai, who is the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. If you want more details, you can find them on the web at www.flyersrights.org. And that's flyers spelled F-L-Y-E-R-S, rights.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.